A lot of stuff going on this morning. Wow, that's awesome. I love to see all the people getting to participate. Awesome song this morning. Great testimony. Thank you, Steve, Tim, and Rachel. I am so glad you guys are called to the ministry that you guys are doing. That is awesome. I know within this congregation, we have probably, Melissa, how many? I was going to say 25, so I was right. We have 25 college students just within this congregation, And, you know, as a dad who has sent a college student off again this year, it's awesome to know that there are some people out there who are trying to reach these kids and reaffirm their faith or bring them to faith. And I'd just like to pray for Tim and Rachel right now. Would that be okay? Even if it's not, we're going to. So here we go. Oh, precious Father God, again, you are an incredible and mighty God, Lord, and I just thank you. I really, truly do. I thank you for the calling that you place upon each and every one of our lives, Lord, and there's no exception to that, God. Lord, you have created us, you have loved us, you have formed us, and you have prepared us, Lord, for a ministry that you will call us to, Lord, and I just thank you for Rachel and Tim. I thank you for their answer to that call, Lord, and right now, I just pray for your hand of blessing to be continually on them, Lord, not just as a couple, Lord, but also in their ministry. I pray that you continue to provide them financially, Lord. I pray that you continue to create divine appointments, Lord, for them every single day with students that they already know and students that they don't know, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them recognize those opportunities and take full advantage of each and every one to share the gospel, to share the good news, to share the love and the grace and the mercy of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, because this world, and especially this age group, need to know that there is hope and there is truth and there is way and there is life, and it comes through one source and one source alone, your Son, Jesus Christ. So I pray for strength. I pray for encouragement. I pray for provision. I pray for divine appointment. But most of all, I pray for your grace to flow through them in amazing ways. So we put them in your hands, Lord, and we ask for your incredible will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So, is anyone else getting confused? I'm just going to tell you, flat out, I feel like I'm starting to get a little bit confused. I mean, things are changing so quickly in our world. I step out the door these days. Actually, I wake up in the morning and I kind of lay there for a little while thinking, okay, so what is today going to bring? What new changes are going to happen? Because it seems like right now in our world, things are changing so quickly. The rules are changing so quickly. Literally, the exact same rule could be one way today, and tomorrow be another way, and we've got to figure out which it is. And not only do the rules change, but it seems like the rules change from place to place. I don't know. It's getting to the point where I don't want to go out because I'm not sure exactly what the rules are for all the different places I go to. Okay? It's a little bit confusing. And I'm not just talking about the small things. I'm talking about some of the big things. I mean, some things we're talking about, the core values of our life and our country and our lives in general, are literally getting changed from day to day. And it's driving me a little bit crazy because I'm not sure what I'm walking into when I walk into all these different situations. I'm not sure how to adapt to all these things that are going on around me. And to be honest with you, I don't know how you guys do it. I mean, the college campus, I mean, it could change from one side to the other. You know what I'm saying? From one dorm to the other, from one edge of the campus to the other, from one teacher to the another. You have to adapt to the changing values and rules and all the things that are going on in our world today. And I'm telling you right now, I'm just getting tired of it. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting tired. I'm getting worn out, and I'm getting really confused about what I'm supposed to be doing. So there's something that's really important to me, okay? I am so grateful. I am so glad. I am so, like a sigh of relief about one thing in this world. You know what that is? Listen to me very closely, because this is really important. Our God does not change. Amen. Never. He has never changed. His ideas, his plan, his design, all of it has never, he's never even changed his mind. You know why? Because he's never had to change his mind, because his mind is absolutely perfect. His plans are absolutely perfect. As a matter of fact, in God's word, in a couple different places, I'm just going to look at them real quick. In Numbers chapter 23, there's this little debate thing going on between this king who's wanting Balak, a prophet to come and curse his enemies, all right? And finally, this prophet says this to this king who's wanting him to curse his enemies, which his enemies were actually Israel, all right? And so the prophet was like, I don't know if I can do this. But he kept asking him, come curse him over here. Come curse him over there. So you come to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, and the prophet, Balaam, says, God is not a man that he should lie. Thank you, Lord. Nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Did you hear that? God is not a man. You know what? We're surrounded with men. And we're surrounded with women. We're surrounded with people. And people do what? They change their minds. They change their minds so often, they change it as often as they change their socks anymore. And it doesn't seem to matter who's in charge, because the next person who comes in charge, they're going to change their mind too. But God is not a man. And he does not change his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His rules have never changed. His mind has never changed. His plan has never changed. His character has never changed. If you want to put your hope in something that is steadfast and is not going to change, you focus your mind, your attention, your desires, your will, your hopes in God. In God alone. Trust him completely and totally. As a matter of fact, in the book of James, James chapter 1 says the exact same thing. Well, not the exact same thing. See, I changed my mind already there. Did you notice that? James chapter 1 verse 17 says the same idea. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heaven, heavenly lights, who does not what? Does not change. Everything that's good is coming from God. And he's not changing. And his plans have never changed. His purpose for us has never changed. And the thing is, if we would get that into our minds, if we would continually look to God and his purpose for our life and what he wants for us and what he wants to give us, those perfect gifts, if we could just get that in our mind and we would seek those things instead of trying to please all the people around us and all the rules that are going on around us, we would finally have a peace every morning. We'd be able to wake up and say, it doesn't matter what's going on around me, because I am looking for God's purpose. I am looking for God's plans. I am looking for his gifts, and I'm not going to worry about all the stuff in the world. If we would start to do that, we would understand that. If we would desire him more than anything else, it would all fall into place. It might not be the way we want it, but it would be the way he designed it to be. So what is God's purpose? What if God has never changed, his purpose has never changed, right? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just going to read this to you. And as I read this, okay, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm going to read all the way to verse 14, all right? I'm going to read all the way through 14. And as I'm reading this, I want you guys, and this is the audience participation part of the message here this morning, so I want you guys to start hanging on to the things, the purpose that God created us for. Why did God create us? What did he want us to do? What did he want us to give us? How did he want us to be? What is his design for each and every one of us? And this is really important. I don't know why I'm going to throw this out here now, but I'm going to throw it out here right now. God did design us. He did create us, and he has a perfect plan for each and every one of our lives. The reason that we're living in a world right now that is so intent in pushing God out and making us all believe in college campuses and high school classes all over the place, the reason that they've done such an incredible job and why they've stressed it so much that were not created, but there is no God. You weren't created by God. You were just an accident. You're just, you know, you evolved and all these different things. The reason they want to do that, because if they can convince people there is no God, then we can convince people that there is no plan for your life. If there is no plan for your life, you can do whatever you want and it doesn't really matter. But here's the thing. God did create you. He created every single one of you. He's doing it right now. Right now. Where's all our pregnant moms? Raise your hand. Marie, we got one, two.
We got any more back there? He's three right there. We got God creating and knitting them together right now. A miracle is taking place right now in our very presence. That's awesome. That is so cool. Sometimes we got to realize we're in the presence of a miracle. Do you realize that? Whew. I get chills just thinking about it. God's working in an amazing way. And for some reason, we want to diminish that. We want to take him out of the equation. Because if we take God out of the equation, if we say he's not real, if he didn't create us, then we have no responsibility to the plan that he has for our life. We are able to dismiss and do what we want. But here's the thing. There is a God who did create us, who has a plan for his life, and that plan has never changed, ever. It has been the exact same. You know why it's never changed? Because our God never changes. He never changes his mind. He never changes his purpose. He never changes his character. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We can count on it. All right? So, in Ephesians, you're saying, come on, get to the point, or we're never going to get out of here today. All right, so Ephesians chapter 1 says this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. By the way, what I want you to do when I'm reading this, I think I said this once, but I'll say it again. I'm talking fast, aren't I? As I'm reading this passage, I want you to grab hold of, each one of you, I want you to grab two or three things, why God created you, what he created you for, what his purpose and plan is for each and every one of you, okay? Now, don't everyone grab the first one or two, because there's several in here, all right? So I want you to kind of grab, you know, think, oh, that's an easy one, I'll let someone else grab that one, and I'm going to grab the next one, all right? So there's several, I want you to grab hold of them as I'm reading. All right? Because this isn't, yeah, all right, here we go. This is my third chance at trying to get this read. Here we go. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Do you hear that? Before the creation of the world, he chose us. All right. His plan was started even before he said, let the darkness be separated from the light. He already had a plan. Literally, even before the creation of the world, he had a plan. And he hasn't changed that plan. Here we go. Whew. Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to this plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to, we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. Whew, there was a lot there. Did I lose you, some of you? I'm hoping you were all looking at the screen behind me and reading along. Is that what you were doing, or were you all just like, wow, that's a lot. I hope you're looking at the screen and reading along. So, no, you weren't. You're looking at your phone. You're looking at the Bible. That's awesome. That's good. That's good. I thought you were falling asleep there, but it's good. All right. So what is God's purpose, His plan, His desire for you as His creation that He has not changed since even before the creation of the world. What is God's purpose for you? What does He want for you? What is His plan for you throughout this passage? And we're just going to kind of shout some of them out. I've got them written here in order, but we don't have to go in order. It's all right. What did you see? What's the first one you see in this passage? You're chosen. God chose you from the very beginning. Who said that one? Oh, Barb said, we're chosen. He had a plan from the very beginning, and He chooses us. There's a cool thing that Steve was talking about this morning with his song and his testimony. God calls us. He can't call us unless He chooses us. It's kind of like we're lining up, you know what I'm saying? And we're going to play, you know, we're going to play a game. We're going to play Red Rover, Red Rover. Where are my kids at? Do you even know what Red Rover, did you raise your hand, Sarah? No. So, do you guys even know what Red Rover is anymore? You guys know what Red Rover, okay, so this is some of the older kids. Where's my younger kids? Mark, you're not a younger kid. What are you talking about? They're all upstairs. Do you know what Red Rover is? You guys know what it is? That was an awesome game. I just loved Red Rover when I was a kid. But, you know, he had to size up sides because there's two sides, and he joined hands, and he said, Red Rover, said Jody Davis, right over. And Jody's, and he comes running, tries to break through the chain, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, you have to choose up sides, don't you? Someone has to choose, and you have to be called to the different sides, and you have to choose who you're Red Rovering. I still have no idea what Red Rover really means, but anyway, that's the game. And you have to choose. You have to be called out so you're chosen. You know you've been called out. And you have a response, just like Steve was talking about this morning. You have a response. You have a chance to respond to that calling. Joey could have said, no, I'm not. I don't feel like breaking through the chain today. You can choose not to, but you are chosen by God. And that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing if you really stop to think about it. The creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things, calls you out by name. By name. That's amazing. What else is he? What else is his purpose here? I'll drop it there. What else is his purpose? What? In unity. He wants to bring it all together in unity. Yeah, absolutely. He's going to unite all things. It's not united right now. His plan and his purpose is to bring all things on heaven and on earth. He's going to bring it all together. And he's going to bring it all at once. And it's going to be an amazing day. But God is a God of unity and of total purpose. And that's been his plan from the very beginning. I'm just going to go through these a little bit because some of you are looking at me like, I don't know what he wants. And I'm just looking at the passages here. But he's calling us. His design for us is to be holy and blameless. Whew. Think about that just for a second. His design and his purpose for us, he wants us to be holy and blameless. Wow. Whew. That could be a little bit of a problem. But that's what he's calling us to. It says it right there. Do you see it? It's right there in verse 4. He says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. That's a calling that he's placed in our life. It's a purpose that he has for each and every one of us. And it hasn't changed. No matter how ugly, no matter how bad, no matter how sin-filled your life is, his calling and his purpose for you is to be holy and blameless. Whew. Do you realize that his calling and purpose for you from the beginning, before the creation of the world, was to adopt you, to ask you to be one of his sons and daughters? That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool when the creator, the sustainer, the keeper of the everything wants to call me son. And that means he wants to have that personal relationship with me. He wants to treat me like a son. And he wants to treat you like a son or a daughter. That's pretty amazing if you really think about it. an incredible privilege. He's wanting you to receive his grace. And his plan from the very beginning is that you would find forgiveness and that you would know his will. You'd literally know God's will for your life. That's what he wants. It's right here. Read through it again. And there's so many other things. Yeah, we're chosen. We have a purpose. All these things. And they're all awesome. Every one of them is God's plan from the very beginning. And it's absolutely amazing and fantastic. But they're all overshadowed by one thing. You ready for this? If we read this again, you're going to see, I'm going to list them out here. You're going to see in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 9, verse 11, verse 13, twice in verse 13, you're going to see the exact same thing. And it's really God's purpose and his plan and his desire for every single one of us. It's in this passage over and over and over again. But so many times we get distracted by chosen, blameless, holy, forgiven, redeemed. You know what it is? Let me read it to you again. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him, we were all chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first in hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ. Have you got the point yet? You see, God created us with an incredible purpose to be with him, to be his, to be in his presence, to acknowledge the mighty God that he is, to praise him and to worship him, to love him. But it only happens when we're with him. So, I started out at the very beginning, I remember saying, I'm so confused. Remember that? I'm so confused about everything that's going on. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. There's rules here and there's rules there. And I don't know which rules I'm supposed to follow. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm not so sure where I'm supposed to go. Blah, blah, blah. I've lived that confusion for a little while now, and it's getting even a little more frustrating. It seems like every time I go out of the house anymore, it's gotten to the point where I don't want to go out. You know what I'm saying? It'd be so much easier if I just stayed by myself so I could make my own rules. But that's not how he designed us to be. As a matter of fact, literally when he created us, when he knit us together, he created us in his image. Whether you like it or not, you are so special because you were created in his image, and he created you in his image like nothing else in all the universe, in all of creation. He created you in his image for a very specific purpose, and that is to be in fellowship with him. He wants you. He calls you. He chose you to be with him, in him. And he provided a way for it to happen. Because when he created us, you remember all the way back in Genesis? Whew, I got 5 minutes. All the way back in Genesis, when he created Adam and Eve, and he walked with them, and he talked, he walked with me, and he talked with me, and he told me I am his own. You know what I'm saying? That's why he created us. Sin came into the world, separated, messed it all up. And so the entire plan from the very beginning, even before the creation of the world, was to bring Christ Jesus into this world to pay the price for our sin so that we could be covered by the blood of Jesus and find forgiveness, find redemption, be chosen, become blameless and holy, not because of anything that we do, but because of all that Jesus has done for us. Jesus is here so that we might have that relationship restored with God that he planned and designed from the very beginning, before the creation of the world. He has this plan to be with us. So, this week, like I said, I was so confused. Woo. And honestly, I was like, every time I read this week, I got to spend some tractor time. I got to listen to some great message on Moody Radio. Man, if you've got time, I would turn a radio station on. K-Love, Moody, whatever the other one is. I can't remember. Anyway, what are they? Anyway, turn it on and just let your spirit be filled, because that was awesome. But at the same time, it confused me a little bit more, because I'm trying to get ready for a message and I couldn't figure out what I was going to preach on. And I was reading and I was reading and I was reading and nothing was sticking. And so it's really strange. I told Nathan this. I probably shouldn't tell these stories, should I? Because they're going to think something weird is going on. But so, was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday morning. I came into my office because I was like, man, I got to get something. I got to get something. And I come in my office, and if you've ever been in my office, you probably want to turn around and leave really fast. I'm just being honest. It's a mess. It literally is. It's a mess. I don't know how Melissa works next to me every week, because it just looks like someone just came in and dumped a bunch of papers in my office, it seems like. So anyway, I come into my office Saturday morning, kind of desperate, kind of, and there sits my Bible, just like I had it Friday night when I left, open. And I don't remember how, and I don't remember how it happened, but I had two books sitting on my Bible. And they were the same two books. And I remember sitting down thinking, that's weird. Why? It's same two books sitting on my Bible. And it's called Abiding in Christ. It was a book that one of our missionaries, who is now evading my name, is Tim Olson. Woo! Thank you. That Tim Olson, when last time he was here, he set out these books and said, hey, if you want one of these books, grab it. I don't know how I got two, but somehow they got it up on my desk and they're sitting on my Bible. And I opened it up, I started reading, and it's an amazing thing. You see, the whole idea why God created us is to abide with him, to be with him, to have a relationship every single day with him. Next couple of weeks, we're going to look at what that really means, what it really means to abide, to remain in Christ. Probably not exactly what you think. But let me tell you a little teaser. If you want to come back next week, you're welcome. A little teaser. It's more. Did you hear me? Boji, it's more. It's more than what you think. And it's better than what you think. And it's more fulfilling than what you think. You see, everything that God designed and his purpose and his plans that have never changed, it's more. It is so much more. And I can't wait to share it with you. But it all starts with a calling and a response. Start that relationship. And it's for every one of us. Whether you accepted him 20 years ago or you're ready to accept him today, the abiding part of your relationship with God is he says, I'm calling you, and you say, I hear you, and I'm ready to respond. Are you ready to do what he's calling you to do today? I don't know what it is, and I'm not the guy to tell you, but he is, and he will, and if you'll listen, he'll let you know. We're going to sing a song of invitation right now, and you've got an opportunity to respond to the calling that he gives you. I'm hoping there's no lightning involved at this point in time, because I know it's stormy outside. I know it's possible, and God can do all things. Let's hope for no lightning. Hopefully no dead cows laying around. But I hope there's some dead spirits that become alive. I hope there's some closed hearts that become open. I hope there's some stagnant minds that become awake. And we can say yes. Yes, Lord. I want your plan for my life. Let's stand and sing.